I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. What a beautiful morning for some education. Man, I'm looking at my computer right now, and I've got like, I don't know, 7, 8 tabs open. Things that I want to talk about today. So much teaching to do. We are a teach show and not a talk show. I want to give you a definition. Oligarchy. A government by a few, especially by a small faction of persons or families. I want to show you, I don't usually rely on Wikipedia for information. I like Wikipedia as a source document, not as a truth document. But I want to read to you what Wikipedia says about oligarchy. I mean, this is pretty safe for them to define, I think. Oligarchy comes from the Greek word meaning few and meaning to rule or to command. It is a form of power structure in which power effectively rests with a small number of people. These people could be distinguished by royalty, wealth, family ties, education, corporate, religious, or military control. Such states are often controlled by a few prominent families who typically pass their influence from one generation to the next. But inheritance is not necessary, a necessary condition for the application of this term. I want to repeat that. A form of power structure in which power effectively rests with a small number of people. These people could be distinguished by royalty, wealth, family ties, education, corporate, religious, or military control. Such states are often controlled by a few prominent families who typically pass their influence from one generation to the next. Do you realize that only Republicans bearing the last name Bush have occupied the White House for nearly 30 years? When a Republican has been in office, his last name has been Bush for nearly 30 years. Can I remind you this term oligarchy? These people can be distinguished by royalty, wealth, family ties, education, corporate, religious, or military control. To rule or to command, in which power effectively rests with a small number of people. So Chris Ann's picking on the Bush family today. Is that how it works? No. I am trying to educate you on what type of government we are supposed to have and what type of government we're actually operating under. Oligarchy, a government by few, especially by a small faction of persons or families. And now we have Jeb Bush, who's going to run in 2016. Are we really that brainwashed that we cannot even see what's going on? If there has been a Republican in office in the last 30 years, his name has been George Bush. In the office of the president, that is. Do you see how this works? Now look, this is the result of an even bigger oligarchical problem. Government by a few, especially by a small faction of persons or families. Listen to George Washington. He says, "They serve to organize faction, to give it an extraordinary force, to put in the place of delegated will of the nation, the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils, modified by mutual interests. He's talking about political parties. We need to really, really digest this. He says, I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. Let me now take more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. He is trying to tell us the last words that this great president will ever say to a people. This is his last opportunity to address the people of the Union as president of the United States, his farewell address, and he is spending a significant amount of time warning us against parties. He says the spirit, meaning the spirit of parties, unfortunately is inseparable from our nature, having its roots in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed. But in those of popular form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly their worst enemy. Alternate domination of one faction over another, he says, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension. You just have to pause there for, don't you? I mean, seriously, everything that's happening with John Boehner and the attack on those who voted against him, removal from committees and silencing their voice and telling them they'll never have a bill hit the floor again, alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. Why? Because political parties are an oligarchy. Political parties create the government by a few, by a small faction of persons, and in the Republican Party, families. An oligarchy is the baneful foe of Republican government. Remember, Jefferson Washington, founders swimming through my head. Franklin said, we've given you a republic if you can keep it. Washington is saying the only way you can keep it is if you keep political parties out of it. Because why? Political parties become oligarchy. He says, but this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purpose of his own elevation and on the ruins of public liberty. We, without looking forward to an extremity of this kind, he says, which nevertheless ought not be entirely out of sight, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of the party are sufficient to make it the interest and duty of wise people to discourage and restrain it. We are living George Washington's warnings, living it. The entire malfunction of our government, I believe, can be traced to the fact that we are no longer a republic, but we are ruled by an oligarchy of a few. Remember the definition here by Wikipedia. These people could be distinguished by royalty, wealth, family ties, education, corporate. We are a corporate oligarchy. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are corporations, private corporations. We have failed to remember that. that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are private corporations that now rule and reign our government. Private corporations that dictate to us how we spend money, how we collect money. Private corporations with the arm of the law and the rule of government. Private corporations dictating tax collection. Private corporations dictating regulation of private industry, regulation of personal lives. Private corporations that dictate to you who can be your representatives and who can be your president. Private corporations that run the court systems. Hey, I'm trying to open some eyes here. We want to get away from a government of division. You want to point fingers and call Barack Obama names for being the administration of division. Hey, I'm trying to show you our entire basis of federal government, if not government in general, is based on division. Corporate parties whose entire purpose is to create, as Washington called them, interested factions, whose only purpose is to consolidate power within themselves, creating an oligarchy. He says, these parties always serve to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. They agitate the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against another, foments occasional riots and insurrection. These parties open the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another, because that's how an oligarchy works. When you are not a republic, where government is instituted among men derived from the just powers of the governed, and you become a government controlled by party faction, that is an oligarchy.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So what do? When your particular faction, your half, your portion of the oligarchy no longer maintains its platform, or when you realize that the platform created is simply, as Washington so aptly described, is meant to create, to distract public councils, enfeeble the public administration, agitate the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindle the animosity of one part against another. What happens when you realize that that's the purpose, because the platform they uphold, meaning to create opposition, is not really what they do? In reality, the Republican Party, their platform, many pages long, beginning on page 9, says, a restoration of constitutional government. The very first lines of page 9 of the Republican Party platform, we are the party of the Constitution, the solemn compact which confirms our God-given individual rights and assures that all Americans stand equal before the law. Perhaps the greatest political document ever written. It defines the purpose of and limits of government and is the blueprint for ordered liberty that makes the U.S. the world's freest, most stable, and most prosperous nation. Its constitutional ideals have been emulated around the world, and with them, has come unprecedented prosperity for billions of people. In the spirit of the Constitution, we consider discrimination based on sex, race, age, religion, creed, disability, our national origin unacceptable and immoral. And you see, they go on to create this platform for the restoration of constitutional order in the Congress and the executive. We must understand that everything they do today is a contradiction to the restoration of constitutional order. And what happens when you stand up against that? Well, here's what happens. In Rowan County, North Carolina, members of the Republican Executive Committee have drafted a censure of Congressman Richard Hudson. And the chairman, John Leatherman, for reasons unknown, they said, decided to stop this censure from being on February's agenda. Even though the censure was voted on and it was supposed to be added to the agenda, the chairman said, no, I don't care. It's simply not going to happen. This is what happens when you stand against the party. This is what happens when you point out that you no longer represent us. The resolution to censure Congressman Richard Hudson is very, very telling. It says, as leaders of the Republican Party, we are obligated to fully support our party, platform, and its candidates. Only in times of great crisis or betrayal is it necessary to publicly censure our leaders. Today, we are faced with both. For far too long, we've waited hoping Congressman Hudson would return to our party's values on his own. That has not happened. So with sadness and humility, we rise and declare, whereas Congress Hudson has amassed a long, terrible record of drafting, co-sponsoring, and voting for legislation best associated with liberal Democrats, such as amnesty, funding for Obamacare, both included in Cromnibus, and insults on the Constitution like NDAA. Also casting his vote for John Boehner for Speaker, ignoring his constituents' wishes for him to vote for anyone else. Whereas, this record has been disastrous and harmful to the Rowan County, North Carolina, and the United States, and whereas Congressman Hudson has campaigned as a conservative and made promises during his reelection campaign, such as stopping amnesty and repealing Obamacare, only to quickly flip-flop on those promises. Therefore, be it hereby resolved that the Rowan County, North Carolina Republican leadership censures Congressman Hudson for his continued disservice to our county, state, and nation. And be it further resolved that until he consistently champions our party platform, we, the Republican leadership in Rowan County, North Carolina, will no longer support, campaign for, or endorse Richard Hudson as our U.S. House Representative. And that is how it is supposed to be.
My mom always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Man, I just love this Rowan County, North Carolina Republican censure of Congressman Richard Hudson. I just, you know, this is really, really awesome. The charges that they've brought against him for co-sponsoring and voting for legislation best associated with liberal Democrats, such as amnesty, funding for Obamacare, and assaults on the Constitution like NDAA. For casting his vote for John Boehner for Speaker, ignoring the constituents' wishes for him to vote for anyone else. And these patriots who wish to hold their representatives to their party platform are being denied their voice. Being denied. I love that they recognize that NDAA is an attack on the Constitution. I wonder how they would feel about that attack on the Constitution if they realized that Alan West was one of the drafters of the language that they so oppose. Or would they wonder, would they be willing to censor him as well? I mean, this is the problem when the party is not held to its platform. We just continue to make exceptions for people based on, you know, who they are. And so now what we have is a party whose platform is the Constitution, and people within that party saying, hey, that's our platform, and these people won't live up to the platform, and now we want to censor them. We don't want to support them. You know what the crazy thing is the Republican Party makes you, when you're on these committees, makes you sign a pledge that you will never oppose and you will support all members of the party. Well, these people in Rowan County, North Carolina, are saying, you know, we are required to do this, but we cannot in conscience support this guy just because he has a Republican after his name, because he is clearly not a Republican. So what do you do when the party makes you pledge to something that you cannot uphold? Well, you're left with a conundrum, right? Do you not uphold your promise? Do you sign a promise you can't keep? Or do you abandon the party? Because that's the only choices that you have. And I think the whole point is to make you abandon the party. Because you see, they don't want to keep the platform. If they wanted to keep the platform, John Boehner would not be Speaker of the House. If they wanted to keep the platform, they would have a Speaker of the House that represented the platform, the party of the Constitution. But because we have been dictated now for generations into an oligarchy, these particular factions that Washington warned us about, we are now consistently engaged in the spirit of revenge. We are consistently distracted by these Democrat versus Republican fights that are always the same thing in the end. They don't want to end executive amnesty. If they wanted to end executive amnesty, they would have done that. But it's not. It's a false charade. It's simply just an illusion. Smoke and mirrors. And Washington warned us about it, which is why we stand here for liberty over security, principle over party, truth over our favorite politicians. Because it's about time that we start standing against an oligarchy and become a government who is instituted among men, deriving its just powers from the consent of the governed, and not through political party faction. We need to be able to take a stand. We need to be able to have a voice. Oligarchies do not give voice to the people. Which is why you have situations like the Obama administration refusing to release IRS targeting documents. Refusing to publicly release more than 500 documents on the IRS's targeting of Tea Party groups. 20 months after the IRS scandal broke, we still have no answers. The Hill, through Freedom of Information Act request, asked for 2013 emails and other correspondences between the IRS and the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The request specifically sought emails from former IRS official Lois Lerner and Treasury officials, including Secretary Jack Lew, while the Inspector General was working on its explosive May 2013 report that the IRS used inappropriate criteria to review the political activities of tax-exempt groups. I want to mention to you that this goes bigger than just simply tax-exempt groups. Okay? This went into private businesses and private lives. I know for fact because it hit me. It's a long story. I don't want to get into it. But I'm going to tell you what. I know plenty of private business owners and private people who were attacked by the IRS in 2010 based on these political and these activist criterias. So the question is, what's going to happen? The answer is nothing. Because the oligarchies don't want to limit power. And the oligarchy is never going to actually criticize or condemn itself. It's not going to happen. That's why all of these congressional hearings never come up with anything, because it's all the same group. Maybe I'm just too tinfoil hat today. Is that the problem? I think I started off by identifying what an oligarchy is, showing that Washington warned us that political parties would be the end of our republic and a baneful foe to the public liberty. And that's why. Because one man or one group of men have now consolidated the power into themselves and for their own personal gain. Why is the GOP investigating? They want to know who knew what when. Who cares? Who knew what when? Shouldn't we start by finding out what damage was done? We should be finding about and interviewing the victims. I mean, that's how we work as a prosecutor. Interview the victims. Find out what happened. And then you'll find out who knew what when. Start backwards. But you see, these are all lawyers. They're all, some of them, prosecutors. Some of them should know this. But you see, it's easier to engage in the whole political shuffle and make you think they're doing something by continually interviewing the defendants who refuse to say anything at all. Well, we just keep asking for things that they refuse to give us. And we keep asking and asking and asking. Well, that's never going to work out if you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. And you're wondering, why? You're wondering why this never works. Because it's an oligarchy. And the party is a one-party system with two different heads. That's why we can have gun legislation, right? I want to thank God on Wednesday that a U.S. District Court judge by the name of Reed O'Connor ruled that the federal interstate handgun sales ban is unconstitutional. The Gun Control Act of 1968, signed into law by LBJ, bans sales of handguns for law-abiding residents in one state from buying handgun in another state. So you can buy a shotgun, a rifle, or a tactical rifle in another state than one you live in, but you can't buy a handgun. Judge O'Connor ruled that the ban on interstate handgun sales violated just not just the Second Amendment, but the Fifth Amendment's due process clause. Why? Because life, liberty, or property without due process is an oppressive and evil government. The provisions of the ban are therefore unconstitutional, and the government is enjoined from enforcing them. We are stepping closer to the identification and the education, the identification of an evil and oppressive government, and the education of the people of what this looks like. And only through this education and identification are we ever going to find the real answers and the real solutions. Now, I am not in favor of giving federal courts jurisdiction over the Constitution. That's not what our framers intended. But I am pleased to see a judge who has denied the brainwashing of college, of law school, of case law, and has stood in defense of the Constitution as his oath requires. But you know what? We still have those in government who think that we should be having a real common sense debate on gun legislation. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because it starts with us. And we have to realize that without our control, without our consistent input, without you attending your county commissioner meetings, your city council meetings, without meeting with your sheriff on a regular basis, you are subjects to an oligarchy. You see, all of your control is local. We wouldn't need the federal courts to rule on these issues if we had county commissions, city councils, and sheriffs who understood the Constitution and understood their obligation to their oath to support it when the laws contradict.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Standing against the status quo of a government who's been long established, as Washington says, to be the destruction of liberty and the republic, not my words, George Washington's, is always going to come at a price. The Rowan County, North Carolina GOP is experiencing that. But you see, we have to be willing to take that stand, consequences be what they will. I want to point out to you a situation that came to my attention through my dear friend Ben Swan. This is the case of public defender Jamie Tillotson of San Francisco, who was arrested last month as she was leaving a courtroom at the Hall of Justice with a client who had been accused of shoplifting. Now, this was all caught on a cell phone, and it began when police, led by Sergeant Brian Stansbury, approached the public defender and asked her to step aside so that officers could take photographs of her client and another nearby suspect. They wanted to interview her client in connection with a separate crime, as the clothing he was wearing matched a description of those worn by a burglary suspect. As if, you know, clothing isn't at all unique these days. Now, the police thought that they were investigating a separate case than the one from which the attorney was representing her client. They had reasonable suspicion to pursue a line of consensual questioning, and that the suspect had yet to formally obtain legal representation. But you see, that's irrelevant, because the person had an attorney present. And when the officer approached the attorney, she said, No, you cannot interview my client without me being present. Now, I don't care whether this was for a separate crime or a related crime. You are not interviewing my client without me being present because I'm not going to trust you to stay on a separate crime. I don't care. She's a public defender. He doesn't have to be retained. He has the right to an assistance of counsel and for that counsel to be present during questioning. And when she stood firm and refused to allow the police to investigate her client without her being present, she was arrested, handcuffed to a wall in a holding cell, while they questioned her client and photographed without her present. That is insane. Now, if these officers had been educated on the Constitution and their obligation to their oath, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Maybe they would have realized that having an attorney present is that person's right and not simply an inconvenience for them. The good news is they're not charging her with a crime. The bad news is they arrested her in the first place. Why? Because our law enforcement academies do not teach the Constitution and do not teach the obligation to the Constitution. They teach our officers how to shirk the Constitution and breed an attitude of adversarial conduct between the people and the Constitution. This is becoming an epidemic here in this country. Government teaching how to ignore the Constitution and creating an adversarial relationship between the people and the government. Our officers look at our people as enemies now. Why? Because we want our liberty, and they're not taught it's their obligation to preserve it. It's time to shift the paradigm. God bless. To life.